True Consequences is a proud member of the Borealis Podcasters Guild.
The Oracle Network.
Look deeper.
True Consequences is a true crime and mystery podcast with stories based in New Mexico and the American Desert Southwest. I'm your host, Eric Carter Bondine. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of True Consequences podcast. This is a bonus episode. We are doing this to help a family member of a local New Mexican murder victim. And I wanted to release this as soon as possible because I didn't want to make the family wait for season four. We're going to need everybody's help with this case because it has stalled out and this family needs and deserves answers, and they deserve to be taken seriously. So I'm just going to ask you to pay attention at the end when we talk about what you can do to help support this case. So if you don't mind, go ahead and introduce yourself to my listeners, and we'll start with you.
My name is Alicia Otero, and I am the mother of Elias Otero.
And my name is Luis Otero, and I'm the father of Elias Otero.
Thank you for joining me today. I know this conversation is going to be difficult, but it's really important that we get Elias' story out there and get the awareness on the case so that we can make sure that justice is served. So if you don't mind, I'd like to start by you telling me about Elias, who he was, what he meant to you and your family, and just anything you want to share about him.
Well, Elias is the oldest of my children, and he grew up loving football. He was very quiet. He kept to himself. He was very much into video games. He was very protective of his family. Of course, being the oldest brother, that was his job, was to protect his other siblings. He wasn't very talkative, but he was definitely a gentleman. He had like old-fashioned values that I taught him. He's very respectful.
Before all this happened, he was working as a corrections officer?
Yes. I believe it was 4 years he was working at MDC.
And he liked that job?
He did like that job, you know, but it is hard. And I got to give a shout out to all the correctional officers. They do work very long hours. It's pretty much like living at the jail. And the only reason why he even left was because I felt that he needed more of a life. So he did leave MDC.
Is there anything else you want to say about Elias?
Elias was like very outgoing, and not only that, he loved hunting. He was a hunter. That was one of his special things about him as well, is he was looking forward to going hunting. That was one of the things we really enjoyed as well, was hunting.
So what happened?
Well, on February 11th, we were asleep, we got a phone call in the middle of the night, which I thought was odd, and, you know, my husband answers the phone, and I just heard my husband scream, "Elias has been shot," and I jump up, and I'm looking for clothes to put on, and my shoes, and I'm getting dressed, and so is he, and I can just hear my husband screaming, what do you mean? Give him CPR. Did you call the police? And he's just screaming, and I just start crying immediately. I'm crying. I'm like in shock. I can't believe this is happening to us. We were out the door within 5 minutes. My son probably lives about 15 minutes away from us. I'm driving. I'm crying. My husband's on the phone with my son, Nicholas, you know, crying and screaming that, you know, my son had been shot. I'm driving, you know, trying to call the police on my phone while he's on his phone with my son, Nicholas. I got there in like 5 minutes. You know, I even ran red lights. I made sure I got there. My husband could hear my son Elias saying, "I'm shot. I'm shot." And, you know, we get there and fire and rescue's there. Police were there also. And they're already pulling off, you know, the wires and stuff. I'm guessing their heart monitors off my son. And my son's in front of his house and in the street. And I'm just staring at him, and I'm just crying very out loud. I'm crying out loud. And my husband is, you know, in shock also, and he's upset, and he's like, help him. What are you doing? Help him. He's telling the paramedics, you know, because I guess he was already dead. But of course, naturally, as a parent, you want to do whatever you can. And I think my husband, you know, got upset, like, wait, where are you going? Aren't you going to help him? You know? And then they told us, you know, he's gone. So naturally, all of us just started screaming, you know. I didn't know anything that had happened at this point. You know, I just know my son's dead in the street. And I see my other sons just crying, and my, you know, everybody's just looking around. And I, at that moment, you don't know what to do. You feel so helpless, and, you know, you're looking at your child in the street, and they're covering him up with a sheet, and you're just in disbelief. Like, this can't be happening to me. Not my son. Like, my son, I mean, he was such a homebody, never went anywhere. So for something like this, of this magnitude, to happen to him was a complete shock to us.
When we were, before we recorded, you were talking about Elias being the type of kid that was a good kid. He never got into trouble. He, you know, went to work. He went home. He didn't really do anything crazy to put himself in danger. You know, I think that sometimes people like to try to find what's wrong with the person who got killed, which I'm not a big fan of. I don't think anybody deserves to die. There's no such thing as a throwaway person. You know, some people mean something to somebody, but I think it hurts even more knowing what a good kid he was, and how he'd never put himself in trouble, in danger like that. Can we talk about what you've learned now from your son, from your other son, Nicholas, and what actually happened that led up to this horrible event?
Yes. So this is just from listening to my sons and, you know, what I know so far. These kids nowadays, they're getting on the Snapchat app, and they want to video record everything they do, what they eat, what they bought, you know, what they have. And to me, that's putting a target out on them. It really is. My sons are taking pictures of cash, and they're taking pictures of cars, and they're taking, you know, pictures of everything they do. And I feel this had a very big thing to do with it. So my youngest son, Nicholas, he does that a lot. He takes pictures of everything, and they put it on Snapchat, just like all the rest of these young teenagers. And he went to go meet a girl this night. He had met this girl before, and she says, well, and mind you, this is like at 1 o'clock in the morning. We didn't even know he was out. My son Nicholas does work graveyard, so it's not uncommon for him to be leaving in the middle of the night to go to work. So, you know, me and my husband, like I said, were asleep. But he left to go pick up this girl, and this girl says, well, let's go hang out at this park nearby. So they were in my car. And I do have like a special edition Lexus, and I'm guessing he did post pictures of this car, and they wanted this car. So when my son got there with this girl, he was ambushed by two males, and they put a gun in his face, and they said, take your clothes off. And they stripped him, and, you know, they were looking for cash. I guess he had posted a picture of cash that he had earlier that day, but I don't know where he got the cash from. He didn't have it on him. And now these suspects just tell the girl just to go away. Not, you know, violently like someone, you know, would, or even to let her go away, because that's going to be, you know, she's a liability, of course,
yeah,
of them getting caught. So, of course, Nicholas found that odd, as well as I do. So they let this girl go. So they don't want just the car. They want the $1,000 of cash that was posted on Snapchat earlier also. And my son at this point doesn't know, you know, what to do. He doesn't have that cash. He had also taken pictures of my son Jacob's gun. He does have his concealed carry licensing. And so they mentioned the gun also. They wanted the gun also. My son says, well, I didn't know where to take him, Mom. I didn't want to take him home. So I took him to Elias's house. My son Elias has his own home, and my other son Jacob lives with him. So the two suspects jump in the car with my son Nick. Another suspect is following, you know, close behind in their car in a silver Chrysler 300, and they drive to the house. At this time, my son Nicholas calls Jacob. He FaceTimes him, and he's letting him know, I'm outside. I got a gun to my head. These guys aren't messing around. I need you to bring me $1,000 worth of cash and your gun. So my son Jacob is frantically looking for cash and getting it together. And he's telling my older son Elias, they got Nick at gunpoint, and they can see this guy. They can see Nick is at gunpoint outside in front of the house. My older son Elias is, he was like born to be a correctional officer. He was calm in situations. He was affirmative. He had no fear. My son really had no fear. Like, and it was just in his nature to take care of his brothers. And I believe, you know, at this point he was like, no way, they're not going to do this to my brother. And so my son Elias went and grabbed two guns. One was a shotgun in one hand, and he had another handgun. And that's not very smart, you know, because you would have more control over one firearm instead of two, you know, instead of having both hands. So I think he was trying to scare these young kids. And when he gets out there, he was like, we're not giving you anything. And at that point, that's when one of the suspects started shooting, and they were shooting. And then the other suspect was shooting from the other vehicle as well. They shot my son 5 times with rifles, AK-47s. When this happens, Nicholas is still in the car, in my car, in the passenger seat, and they take off. And the other car that followed the other car, followed my car as they left. My son Jacob starts panicking and is in shock. He grabs one of Elias's guns and starts shooting at my car.
They took off?
They took off. My son Jacob was shooting at my car. He was just in disbelief. Nicholas, at this point, he's in the car with the guy that just shot his brother. So he opens the door and he rolls out of the car. I'm not sure if my son Jacob shot a tire out in my car or what happened, but the suspect did hit a curb and run into a tree, and my car was disabled and he was gone. So I don't know if the other suspect picked him up or if he ran. I don't know. But at this point, my son Jacob is trying to stop the bleeding for Elias. He's trying to give him CPR. Elias is throwing up, and he's screaming, I'm shot, and to the point where he just stopped talking, and he was gone. Jacob tried really hard to help his brother, and he will have to live with that for the rest of his life, knowing, you know, and have guilt that he couldn't, but, you know, we know my son would have never survived this.
At this point, the investigation is ongoing now. We don't, at this point, that's the last we've heard. And that's been going on for about a month now, and we haven't heard nothing. We haven't got no return phone calls, no nothing. So we're kind of feeling a little bit left aside, you know, mm-hmm. with all everything going on. We just want to hear something. We want some justice for Elias. We want something. We want to hear something. We want to know something. I mean, everything's there. Everything's there. You know, just want to hear something. We want something. We don't feel safe here in our own city right now. Yeah. You know, with my other children, I don't feel safe for any of them to be out in public right now until these suspects are caught and put in jail.
I would like to thank today's sponsor, Southwest Labs. Are you like me, and do you hate the hassle of having to call your doctor to schedule an appointment? That just drives me crazy. Well, guess what? There's an easier way, and it's called Southwest Labs. Southwest Labs makes medical testing super simple. You don't have to call your doctor to make an appointment and wait for 3 months. Southwest Labs offers a huge variety of tests, including STD testing, prostate screening, diabetes monitoring, COVID testing, and more. All you have to do is choose your test, get tested, and then you can get your results with a doctor's interpretation virtually. Southwest Labs has locations in Albuquerque and Las Cruces, and all you have to do is call 505-609-LABS or visit southwestlab.com. And even better, you can find Southwest Labs on social media at Southwest Lab for more information. Schedule a test today and mention this ad when you schedule your appointment. Take the hassle out of medical screening and take control of your health today with Southwest Labs.
I feel like I could have lost all three of my sons. They were just, you know, shooting negligently at my son. And, I mean, the crossfire necklace was still in the car. I could have lost all three of my sons. Also, I want this to be, you know, a warning for people.
Yeah.
You know, let your sons know this is going on. These females are setting up. And not just females. People are setting you up. Know your surroundings. Don't meet in the middle of the night like that. If you're going to meet someone, you know, meet them in a public place. You know, use every precaution because you know what? You just can't trust anybody anymore. You need to protect yourself. I don't want anyone to have to go through what we're going through because it is absolutely the worst feeling in the world to lose your child.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, there's not much worse than that. It is every parent's worst nightmare. And I think that this is a good lesson for parents of kids to have this conversation about what your kids are doing on social media. It may have seemed like fun. You know, you might be getting a lot of attention for posting things like that, but it does, especially in this city, create an unnecessary target. And I'm sure your son, Nicholas, has enough guilt on his own. And I'm not saying this to make him feel bad. When you're young, you don't have the best judgment and you sometimes make decisions that aren't the best. But I think it's important for parents and listening to this to know that that's happening and that it's putting people unnecessarily at risk. And it really is just like the worst case scenario. I know there's nothing I can say to make it better for you guys, but I my heart goes out to you and I want to help you however I can. And I'm so sorry for your loss. I know it doesn't help. It doesn't do anything, but hopefully this will help.
Yeah.
So I was telling you that I know that there are prosecutors that listen to this. There are detectives that listen to this show. And so I would just say, like, if you are connected to this case, please reach out to this family. You know, even if you don't have an answer to give them, at least let them know what's going on, that you're working on it, that you'll have an answer soon. Because even though it may seem like a little thing to a detective who deals with this every day, when you're in the dark for so long, it starts to wear you down. And so just even that little check-in, I think, would help. But at the same time, I feel like we need to talk about the issue at hand in this state, which continues to come up over and over again on this show. The very fact that we have people who commit these violent crimes, who are arrested and then released, and held at home pending trial, they continue to reoffend. They continue to commit violent crime. The system is broken. It isn't working anymore. Everything that the police do to fight crime and to get people off the streets is undermined by the actions of the judges who really don't seem to understand the impact that their decisions have on the lives of the everyday citizen. And we saw this in Nicole Chavez, her story about her son, Jaden Chavez Silver. We saw this in the Hollywood Video murders. We saw this in so many cases that I've covered and that I continue to cover. We see this with even cases that are like Victoria Martin's, where you have Fabian out in the world. So I feel like I have this conversation all the time with my listeners, but like we have to do better about who we elect. We have to do better about the judges that we're allowing to just continue to do this over and over again. We have to do better to hold the state senators accountable for not doing anything
about this epidemic. There's no reason why Elias should be dead right now. It is absolutely unconscionable. And it is because of the lax nature that we have in this community when it comes to people who commit these types of crimes. And yes, I want justice for Elias. I want them to go to jail, but I want them to stay in jail. I don't want them to get out and go kill somebody else.
Yes, they are still out on the street right now. And I agree. I think it's ridiculous. You know, they tried to say that we're saving money by this bail reform. And I don't believe we are. Because you know what? Our car insurance has skyrocketed because of all the auto theft that is going on. Our home insurance has skyrocketed because our houses are being robbed. Mm-hmm. We're really not saving money. There's just more hurt, more crime. It really needs to change.
Yeah. It seems like every time the state decides that we have an issue with overcrowding, every time they do anything to try to fix that, it always makes things worse. And this is something that's been happening. This isn't a 2021 situation. This has been happening for decades here. It is a huge problem. And I don't know what else it's going to take for the people in power to do something about it. It's something that I'm trying to change. I'm trying to make people aware of.
Day grieving has like a week. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, I feel like when the detectives don't call us, even 5 minutes, it would mean a world to us.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. It's important. It may seem like a little thing to them, but for you guys, I think it would make a huge difference in just your morale, you know, and just some hope. Like, you just need hope right now. You need to know that your boys are safe and that these people aren't going to come back.
Yes.
What else do you want to say either about, you know, what's happening in the state or anything about Elias's case or anything that you want to say?
I feel we can either put our money into jails and prisons, or we can put our money into our car insurance and fixing all the damage that these criminals are doing to us. And the benefit of it would be to take them out of society.
Mm-hmm.
It really would benefit us. We can't even go anywhere anymore. You can't even have any groups or go to parties or anything because people are dying.
Mm-hmm.
Mass shootings, everything. Nobody can do anything anymore because you're always looking over your shoulder anymore. And we really need to take these criminals out of society and keep them out of there.
Absolutely.
I really feel that a criminal mind is totally different than other people's minds. And once they're set in that, I don't feel like they're ever going to be the same. I know you can be rehabilitated, but it definitely is a state of mind.
Well, the capacity to kill, I think, is the problem. That type of mentality is one that isn't something you can just like get rid of.
Exactly.
You know, you have, if you have like a car theft or, you know, some kind of petty criminal, maybe somebody is selling weed, right? Okay. You probably don't need to be in jail forever for selling weed.
Exactly.
Right. But if you are violent towards other people in the community, then you have no business being in the broader community.
And if you've been caught stealing cars 10 times, obviously you haven't learned your lesson. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really feel it should be a strict punishment for it.
I think that's why people continue to behave this way, is because there is no strict repercussions for what they're doing. So people know that if they go and steal all these cars, they're going to go to jail maybe for a couple of weeks, and then they're going to be back out in the street doing it again. So why does it even, they don't care about going to jail for 2 weeks, you know?
Exactly.
That's not going to prevent them from doing anything.
It must be very frustrating for police officers to know that they go and they do all this just for them to be released the next day. Or it's got to be frustrating for the police also.
I'm sure. And they're overworked right now because of everything that's going on. It's just a perfect disaster. Like, the perfect storm is happening, and it's been building for a long time. And it's costing people their lives. You know, people are losing very important people in their lives. Like, this is life and death. This is not a joke. It's not a game. And I feel like the justice system is playing games.
Yes.
You know, you shouldn't have to look at a chart to determine whether somebody needs to be in jail or not. You can use your brain to say this person actually shot a human being. They need to be locked up. Anything that you need, you know, do you have a justice for this page set up on Facebook or anything?
I do. It's called Take Our City Back. And if you know anything about this case, if you've heard anything, you know, you can reach out to me or contact APD. Anything would help us at this point. You know, we just want justice for Elias.
Can you give us the cross streets of where the shooting happened?
Yes, it was on 98th and Eucharist.
Okay, and it was February the 11th this year. So, and it was about 2 in the morning?
About 2:30 in the morning.
Okay. So if anybody was in that area, if you saw anything, if there's any tips that you can provide to help bring the murderers to justice, I think the family would appreciate it. So you have the Facebook page. Again, it's Take Our City Back?
Yes.
Okay. Go follow the Take Our City Back page. You know, stay close to this. There may be some more things that the family might need from you in the future. And I believe that that'll probably be the best place for them to find out any information. If you need a petition or whatever, you'll probably post it there, right?
Yes, I will.
Okay. And then send it to me and I'll share it with all my followers as well to try to help get the word out. Anything else that you want to say to my listeners?
If there's anyone that can reach out to help me further, you know, to get justice for Elias, I would appreciate it.
Do you want to give an email or something, or do you want to just use a Facebook page?
Yes, I do have an email. It's aotero505@gmail.com.
If you know anything, if you've seen anything, or if you want to help advocate in this case, please reach out. I just want to thank you for your strength and your courage in telling your son's story. And there's not much I can do to make it better for you, but I hope that this helps get some awareness on the case and hopefully helps inspire our justice system to take action against these individuals to get them off the streets so that your boys are safe.
Thank you.
Of course, anything else you want to say before we wrap up? Thanks for listening and stay safe, New Mexico.
Season 3 of Tapes from the Dark Side.
Gilchrist County 911, what's the address of the emergency?
Brings you a new tale of true crime.
Yes, ma'am. I just shot my daughter and shot all my grandkids. And I'll be sitting on my step. And when you get here, I'm going to shoot myself.
Coming to all platforms Friday, March 26th. Available 1 week early on patreon.com/tapesfromthedarkside. The story of the Spirit Family Massacre.
I think everyone has a bit of a fascination with the dark side.
Thanks for listening to True Consequences. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at True Consequences Pod and on Twitter at True Cons Pod. True Consequences is listener supported. If you'd like to support this one-man show, please go to patreon.com/True Consequences. Thanks for listening and stay safe, New Mexico.